Michael Chans are on the loose. Michael Chans are loose. They are doppelgangers. Michael Chans are loose. Michael Chans. Michael Chans. Michael Chans. Michael Chans.
Hey everyone, welcome to the 28th episode of the Hellbound Podcast.
I am actor Michael Chan from Star Trek Discovery Season 4, and my lovely co-host is...
Alex Blackburn, filmmaker, I was going to say extraordinaire, I don't know about that, but filmmaker.
I think you're an extraordinaire.
Yeah, I can be. I have my moments.
Unlike your doppelganger last week.
Yeah, my doppelganger last week was in the back of my car with me, which was very creepy. I scared myself.
Yeah, well, I rescued you from your attic. Yeah. Cut you out of the saran wrap.
Oh my God, the saran wrap. Yeah, that's saran wrap is, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of beat up a bunch of my own doppelgangers and then like... basically forced them to fix my teleporter, everyone. So they're now my in my dungeon, my red room.
What else is in your dungeon?
Pardon me?
What else is in your dungeon?
An Xbox.
Sure it is.
But no, they're in my red room, and I'm having a lot of fun with them. They call me Daddy. And it's fun, you know. They always say it's should try playing of yourself. I don't think they actually say that. How about this?
Is there a will?
Love yourself so that others will love you. So I'm loving myself a lot.
Yeah, and I was gonna say something really dark then. I was gonna say, have you got them like lined up like human centipede?
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that. I might even start playing a game because I like to play games. Just lock them in a room at the Hearn where, you know, Saw was filmed.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Let's see how they get out of that.
Love that first one.
The first one was the best, and then it just progressively got worse.
Yeah. Anything past, say, the first one, yeah, then it becomes, what do we coin it as, gore porn, or...
I think it, is it? Is it gore porn?
Yeah, because you had a term for it, and I had something slightly different, but it's essentially the same thing. Mutilation's sake.
Yes.
Inferno.
Oh, yeah. I'm obviously hungry, because when you said gore porn, my brain thought garpar for chicken wings.
What's garpar?
Garlic parmesan.
Never heard of
it. I'm hungry, man. I want my garpar chicken wings.
Okay.
Like right now.
How bad is your... do you turn hangry?
I'm capable of becoming hangry. It all depends on whether the headache hits first, because I get a hunger headache, which is why intermittent fasting doesn't work for me, because I will actually be in pain if I get hungry enough.
So considering that, and in a slightly different term, what work you do outside of performing, how kind of fit do you need to keep yourself?
What, to be a realtor?
Yeah, no, in terms of the acting side of things and how you perceive.
Oh, the acting side of things. Yeah. I mean, I've been telling people that during the pandemic I developed a grief gut due to my... the unfortunate events of last year, so I have a bit of a dad bod right now, but I'm still relatively fit. I mean, I clearly have been defeating my Michael Chan doppelgangers, as well as one Alexander Blackburn doppelganger, so it takes a lot of energy to do that, and so considering with my dad bod I'm still able to do that, I think I'm relatively okay, but I mean... it all depends, right? Like, there are a lot of actors out there who, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, but they're not fit, but they're fantastic at their work, and they get booked. So, really it's not as important, but I do know that my industry tends to be superficial, so some level of fitness generally is better.
Generally. Yeah, absolutely. Plus, you know, the long days when you're on production, you need to be fit. You can't be tired.
Well, I mean, some less fit people don't get tired.
Mm.
They have quite a bit of stamina.
Yeah, my I can shoot for. Like on Saturday, my shoot was from about 9:30 in the morning to 11:30 at night. So yeah. over 12 hours, I was absolutely fine. If I go up a serious flight of stairs, that's me done because of my COVID or long-term COVID I had. So, so yeah, it is all relevant. You know, you've got to be fit. Like majority of what I was shooting was on a gimbal. And that was fine. I was really happy that I could spend 6-7 hours shooting with a gimbal, and it wasn't really any strain. It's just about balancing how you shoot and how what you're looking for. And I've become a lot more efficient as a filmmaker now, or a videographer. So, I'm from here upwards, I'm fit as a fiddle.
Let me ask you something. If since you're fit as a fiddle above, and I am still relatively fit with a dad bod, how do you think you and I would do in a zombie apocalypse?
I think we'd do well. I think we'd do well. I think we'd realize that we've got more potential than we had before, or we realize our potential, so to speak, in terms of thinking forward. Because I can be, unless it aids me, I can, I don't necessarily plan things out too well in certain circumstances. But I think when it comes to survival, I think I think that's when you kind of, your brain goes into another gear that you don't necessarily know about. But yeah, I think we do pretty well. How would you think? How do you think we do?
I think the biggest struggle, obviously, is since I have a family and I have kids, my children might attract zombies. Well, my daughter, considering she has special needs and her understanding of the world is a little different, I don't think she would be able to shush when she needs to. Therefore, attracting more zombies. Now, I would think that with all the exercise from killing zombies, since I think I would be very efficient at killing zombies, considering how many weapons I have in my house, especially in my dungeon, I would actually lose the grief gut relatively quickly and develop a lot more muscles and a lot more stamina through my daughter attracting zombies and me killing them. That said, our house doesn't have enough food to sustain four of us. So a lot of people talk about going to places like Costco, since there are no windows and it's easily defensible, except everyone is going to go to Costco.
Yeah, that's the first place people are going to go, yeah.
Most likely zombies aren't going to kill them. They're going to kill each other. At which point, I think my idea is to go to Toys R Us, because most people wouldn't think to go to a toy store. And they have food.
Yeah. Or an IKEA.
For a little while, at least.
Or an IKEA or something like that.
Well, I think some people might think IKEA because they have the restaurant.
Yeah.
But IKEA also has they don't have a lot of windows in the warehouse section, but they have, at least our IKEAs have windows in the entrance. But the Toys R Us that I'm thinking of actually only has a few windows at the front that I can probably defend, whereas the rest of the building is just essentially a warehouse, right?
Yeah.
And there are a lot of toys I can use to beat up on zombies.
So true. That is a great...
Think about that.
That'd be a great scene. That'd be a great scene in a zombie movie, actually. A big toy store like that.
Have you ever tried opening up a kid's scooter? Like, you know, those kick scooters, right? You have to put them together. So their handles would make, they're metal, would make fantastic bats.
Yeah.
Oh, right, and bats. Because there are some smaller, mind you, baseball bats in there. Bicycles, especially smaller ones, can use to smash their heads. You can also ride around on some of those. I mean, I'm pretty sure that at my adult weight, I'm still able to handle some of the kids' bikes. So I'd have a mobility advantage at a Toys R Us.
Yeah.
Also, there's enough toys that make sounds that you can actually use them to confuse zombies by throwing them across the room and having them converge on said toy. Then you just go and, like, you know, one by one, take them out. Just,
yeah,
smash their head, and just keep throwing more and more, you know, light up and audio toys.
Yeah.
And have them keep just following them and then just smash.
Yeah. I do find that frustrating in some zombie films or what was that show? All of Us Are Dead, when they're surrounded in the sports hall and they've got they're deciding whether to have that high, you know, where they're trying to all move together in a circle. I get really frustrated where if there's a small amount of zombies and they have a wide shot and they say show 15 zombies, you could easily, as long as you kill them efficiently, you could clear the room.
Especially when you have a group.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You have a horror story, and I saw some pictures. I was very concerned that the doppelgangers were out for you. What happened there?
Well, if anyone Googles the Yorkshire Moors, it's like a big open area with fields, and we're talking a huge, huge part of the northwest of England. And it's kind of like, just imagine one of the opening scenes of American Werewolf in London. And they're in I think they're in the Scottish Highlands. It's like that. It's like that with less mountains. So I was filming an event on Saturday for about 13 and a half hours. So I was exhausted. When I checked my phone, the only thing I was checking for throughout the day was the shot list, everything I needed. And the other thing was the football score. And that was awful as it was. When I came to leave at I think it was 11 o'clock or half 11 at night, pitch black. There's only a few kind of these huge, huge areas of farmland. There's only a few houses every so often with the odd light. So I leave, and I thought I had my maps on the offline mode, where you can basically go back on where you came from using the same map, and it would direct you. But when I started to leave the driveway of this location, there was no phone signal on my phone. There was no internet, no nothing. Because obviously my phone was charged, and I thought, right, okay, I'll find it. I'll drive a certain distance, then I'll find some sort of signal. And I go past this turning, and I don't remember that bit. Imagine the same location twice, one at night. You can get lost really easily because it's, you know, there's no light. So yeah. I drive past this turning. 5 minutes down the road, I think I need to go back, because if I keep going, I could get lost very easily. And it's this huge area. And I begin to turn the car around, and I've just got my lights on full beams, and all I'm lighting up is a random cow or a random sheep in a field. And there's nothing else. There's no light apart from my car headlights, and that's it, and my dash. And as soon as I start turning around, I hear this beep, 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 beep. I was like, I've not heard that before. And it's a car. Obviously, there's a sound obviously coming from my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I look around the dash, and I'm still being careful because, you know, a car could come around the corner very quickly. And it was a very odd place to turn, but I had to go back. And I continue to turn around. That beeping, hopefully it's nothing wrong with the car. Start to drive down back where I was, back to where I came from to find that turning. And I looked at the dash, and it said rear seatbelt unbuckling. It's a warning if you've got children in the back of your car, that your child or person in the back is unbuckling the seatbelt during a mid-journey. And it's got a symbol of a child on the dash it's red, and it said unbuckling. Like, there's nothing on the seat.
What?
And then as a filmmaker or someone that carries a lot of stuff in your car, if you've got enough weight, on a seat in the back seat or on the passenger seat, that these sounds can go off because it, you know, thinks you've got a child or a human on the seat. Mm-hmm.
That happens in my car too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's nothing on the seat. There's nothing on the seat. There's everything's in the boot. There's nothing on the passenger seat. It's absolutely nothing on. There's no way to get the sensor to turn off. So I look in the rear mirror, and all I see is the shape of my pile of gear in the boot, and I think it's someone. Mm-hmm. But then I pull over, I look at the back seat, and actually nothing on the seats at all. And then when I turn back and start to drive off, the sensor goes off.
Oh my. Well, I'm glad you're alive.
And I, you know, when you get that cold shiver that someone's walked over your grave, yeah, or pure fear, and I was like, right, I have to find this turning. I have to find civilization. And then one thing I didn't mention on the social media, there's a steep hairpin turn. When I shine my headlights coming down, there's a guy pushing a bicycle. He must have been 70, pushing a bicycle up this huge hill in the middle of all these moors with no lights on his bike. And it's like, why? It was so random. So random. He had no bag with him. He had a jacket.
That's just creepy.
Yeah.
So did the warning eventually go away?
When I pulled over just before I saw that guy on the bike, I turned to look and I saw this kind of shadow, but it was just a pile of boxes or camera boxes, yeah, in my boot of my car. When I turned and started to move the car away, after I looked back, I looked at the dash and it turned off as I looked at it.
Oh. and it hasn't come back since?
No. No. And do you know what the breakfast server said to me at the hotel the morning after? She says, "You've taken something from the Yorkshire Moors." I was like, "That's the scariest thing someone could say to me. Something's going back to Cheshire with you from the Yorkshire Moors." I was like, "Yeah, thanks for that."
Oh my! So
my car might be haunted now.
I mean, I hope not. But if it is, I hope that your horrible neighbor who, you know, called the bylaw people on you,
yeah,
has bad enough aura to attract said ghost to haunt them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my god, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I'll mention that to the ghost when if it goes.
Yes,
up again.
Go back in your car and like, hey, you want someone to haunt that person there?
That was so terrifying because I wasn't in a town. I wasn't anywhere I could get assistance, and it was just a cold shiver. And it's the kind of area, I don't know what they kind of let, you know, the hills are like near you or anything like that, but it was just like, it's like this, it's like up and down, huge hill, up and down, mm-hmm, up and down. It was like that. It was like something from the Swiss Alps, this area. Goodness. So, yeah, well, that was terrifying. That's absolutely terrifying.
Oh my God. I can't even, I would be so scared.
Yeah.
Like my scariest road story involved being followed, but on the road for a long time, but that was ages ago.
Was that because of, yeah, like you overtaking someone or anything like that?
No, nothing. It was just Jess and I were driving to Ottawa and it was like middle of the night. And I, you know, like sometimes you're on the highway or whatever, you'll have someone behind or in front of you for a long period of time. But in this case, I noticed that this person was behind me no matter where I went. So no matter, because, you know, there were quite a few turns and exits and entrances and all that in the route that we needed to take, because it wasn't exactly Ottawa. It's like just outside of Ottawa is a friend's place. And they live on a farm or lived on a farm. So there were turns and this car just followed. So eventually I was like, what happens if I just start randomly turning, because I, you know, I have a GPS, I could get back on my route.
Yeah.
And this car kept following. So it took me about 45 minutes to lose it.
So was your intention at that point just to lose the car?
It was first to determine whether they were following, and oh yeah, they were. Because so there's scary. No way our route is exactly the same if I'm just randomly turning on the streets.
Wow.
And then,
Was that local to you in terms of where you live?
No. This was like a trip. This was, I would say, like 80% of the way to my friend's place.
Wow.
And I'm just like, great. But yeah, like eventually, like it just took quite a few turns and speeding on areas where in areas I shouldn't be speeding, and then just shutting off my car after turning into a driveway.
Yeah. Like at the beginning of Drive, where you kind of trying to hide from the police.
I watched
really
them pass
scary.
Too.
What? You watched them go past?
Well, yeah, like I looked out the back window, I could see them passing the driveway where I was, but clearly they didn't know where I was because they kept going. And we waited like 20 minutes in front of this person's house, and thank God they didn't come running out. But yeah.
Wow. Every time I take my dog out, Frida, at about 11 o'clock, just before I go to bed, something like that. And I take her out for a wee and the rest of it. And we walk down the street, which is lit by streetlights. It's a quiet street. It's kind of private road. So there's not like through traffic. And every so often when we walk down the road or when we walk back, she'll turn, stand there and look in a direction there. Usually you can see what a dog's looking at because during the day you can see what they're seeing. And it's as though my dog has this ability to see things that aren't there, like in the dark.
Well,
sometimes when she goes past the house that has no light on in the window, say it's like and all the other houses do, she has this kind of, she's scared of it. So it's really quite freaky when that happens. Really quite scary, those moments.
Now I'm creeped out. So let's end the episode on a... So we did not watch Titanic 666. I have a problem because I'm not going to go pay for Tubi. So I'm still trying to find someone I can watch Tubi off of.
I will find that for us. I will find that for us.
Legally.
Legally, yes.
Something caught in my throat. But yes, legally. But in the meantime, Jess and I started watching this movie called X.
Oh, yeah, I know about it, yeah.
Brittany Snow's in that. Brittany Snow's from Hairspray. And it's about, it takes place in 1979, which, by the way, makes me sad because that's like more than 40 years ago. So now this is a period piece, and I feel really old because that's 2 years before I was born. Anyway, it takes place in 1979, and some people are making an indie porno, hoping to capitalize on the rise in popularity of porn, and so they pay a very low amount of money to go out to a remote place to film. And bad things start happening.
That sounds interesting.
Now, we're I think 60% of the way through. We're not finished, so I don't know how it ends.
Okay.
Bad things have started happening. But I will say this. What has intrigued me so far is that for a film where the premise is literally people make porno, bad things happen. It sounds pretty cheesy and it's going to be bad. The acting is phenomenal, and they're trying to make a statement about age. I'm not going to really go into that, but like I found that the filmmakers are actually trying to make you think before all the crazy horror stuff happens. There's a lot of stuff in there that I thought was a lot more intriguing than it ought to be for a film like this, but they really went out of their way to do something special. I'm not sure if everyone would appreciate some thought-provoking ideas in a horror film. I do see that, you know, the critical review of this movie on Rotten Tomatoes is much higher than the I don't know what the viewer ratings are on Tomatoes, but like on Google Play, it's not very good. But then the Rotten Tomatoes review is good, or rating is good. So, I mean, me personally, so far I'm liking it. So far, I found myself enjoying it, but also like I really do appreciate that I was made to think. And I'm not, you know, obviously, like I said, I wasn't expecting it, and maybe you have to be in the mood for it. I don't know. But I like it so far. I will let all of you know whether I fully recommend. Like right now, I would recommend it. I'm just terrified it's going to be like The Cellar, where like I was like so into it and then it just fell apart. So right now, it's a tentative recommendation.
Oh, interesting.
I will give my final verdict once I finish.
So we can wrap up talking about is it X?
It's 10? Just called X. Yeah.
Okay. And we hopefully will be able to see Titanic 666 by then as well.
A to be original. I'm sorry, that just still blows my mind.
Yeah.
Good on you, Tubi. Just want to congratulate my filmmaking team once again. We are very close to finishing post-production on our film Fishbowl, which we will then enter into the festival circuit. For a film made with as little money as it was, it literally looks like $1 million. I've been very, very impressed with the just what we were able to do with no money or very That's little
awesome.
Money.
Awesome.
And, you know, congratulations to Ryan M. Andrews and Katisha Shaw for putting together... for writing such an incredible script, and congrats to Ryan for an incredible directing job, but also thank you to Ryan for mentoring first Kat and then now myself and Watson Rose to be producers, because we're all very much interested in transitioning from being purely actors to being actor filmmakers. And, you know, the education we've gotten from Ryan has been invaluable. Yeah. And, I'm hoping that our film will do well on the circuit. And then, eventually we can talk more about it here.
Fantastic. Look forward to it. I think I've seen a couple of pictures on Facebook on Kat's account.
Yes. Katisha has posted some little, you know, behind the scenes tidbits to whet everyone's appetite.
Tidbits and appetite, and it's all good.
Yes. I am still hungry and I want my garbar. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. We do have social media. It's at the Hellbound Podcast. If you have something you would like to feature on our social media, you would like us to point out, like, a cosplay or maybe some makeup or crafts maybe, or a music video, anything, just send us a private message on Instagram. Again, that's at the Hellbound Podcast. Plus, if you like what you're listening to, if you think the two of us goofy goofs are worth continuing to listen to, please subscribe to or follow our show on your chosen podcast platform. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a positive review if such an option is available for you. 5 out of 5 stars, 10 out of 10. Top marks helps us get featured, which then gets us more listeners, and then we can do more for you. And I cannot think of anything else to say, so I'll just plug our Instagram once again. It's at the Hellbound Podcast. And as always, harness the darkness.